Jude, good prayer time tonight, I trust, for you. I enjoyed praying with three fellows I've not prayed with yet. Amen. Book of Jude. If you're physically able, would you stand to your feet as we read the book of Jude? I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Would you read the even-numbered verses through the end of the chapter? And we're in verse 7 again tonight, and we'll finish up and get into verse 8. And actually, as we get in a little further into the chapter, we'll start piecing some verses together, verses that go together, and you'd be surprised how we'll be through this in a couple of years. No problem. Amen. No problem at all. Amen. Hey, listen, it's Bible study. Amen. Bible study is slow and methodical. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen. That's the way we're supposed to do it. Praise the Lord. Jude, book of Jude. I'll read the odd numbered verses. You read responsibly the even numbered verses. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not, but left their own habit. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Father, bless now the reading of your word, Lord, as we attempt to expound on the scriptures, Lord. Nothing is more important than the reading of the scriptures, Lord. We pray that your word would accomplish what you will, Lord, as we go now. We thank you for all that you give to us. Thank you for your word. Pray that you'd give us wisdom, Lord. Help us to apply it to our lives tonight. Help us to be cautious and to be warned, Lord, against this sin of apostasy. Lord, we love you and thank you for all that you give to us. Thank you most of all for dying on the cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And we got about halfway through last week, so I'll go quick on the blanks. If you need one of the blanks filled in, I'll give it to you afterwards. But if you're looking at your lesson sheet, here we have the third of three corporate examples of apostasy in the Old Testament. Okay, we have three in verses 5 through 7, three corporate examples. The first being unbelieving Israel. And we know what happened to unbelieving Israel. They experienced a physical destruction. Unbelieving Israel. The second being the angels that kept not their first estate. And whatever you believe, that first estate there, I know there's some debate on that. We did a good study on that, I think. But this is the third here, the idea of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you can tell it's tied in there at verse 7, verses 5 and 6 are tied to verse 7 because it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like the angels are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. So point number one, we have the start of Sodom. The start of Sodom. And according to Usher's chronology, which if you do have a Schofield reference Bible, in the center reference column, you'll see dates there. That's Usher's chronology dates. The Bible first mentions Sodom in 2347 B.C., just 100 years after the flood. So Sodom first mentioned there in Genesis 10:19, 100 years after the flood. It's very important to note that Sodom was a city that bordered the Canaanites. Okay, we talked about that a lot last week. Canaanites are a wicked people. Read about them. God doesn't have a lot of good things to say about them in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, he tells Israel over and over again not to adopt their ways, not to intermingle with the Canaanites. Amen. Don't take part. Don't marry their daughters or don't have your sons to marry their daughters. Okay? A lot God has to say about that. The religion of the Canaanites was characterized by polytheism, which means multiple gods. Okay? And degradation and immorality. By the way, God is still against immorality, and all God's people said. Listen, God is not pleased with immorality. He wasn't then, and he's not now. Amen. So we have the start of Sodom, and we gave you a quote there from the Unger's Bible Dictionary. Then we have the sins of Sodom. This is pretty much where we got stuck last week. The ways of the Canaanites obviously influenced Sodom. Okay, what were some of the sins of Sodom? And the first sin that we mention in Sodom, particularly in this book of the Bible, is the sin of apostasy. The sin of apostasy, we gave the definition of apostasy. And then a great quote there from Maxwell Coder is clearly stated in Romans 1:18 through 32. When men who once knew God fail to glorify him, they become vain in their reasoning, their foolish hearts are darkened, then God gives them up to uncleanness, vile affections, and a reprobate mind. This was true in Sodom. And underneath that, on the end of the first page, this is the root of all, and all the sins that follow are the fruit. So it starts with this sin of apostasy, and that is rejecting revealed truth. God shows us himself, and we reject him God is not obligated to go any further than that. Amen. This is where in Romans chapter 1, how it talks about the invisible things from the beginning of the world are clearly seen. Why? So they are without excuse, the Bible says. And so the first sin of Sodom was the sin of apostasy. Number two on the second page, and probably the sin we know most and spent the most time dealing with last week, was the sin of open homosexuality. Open homosexuality. And we give you the references there. Obviously our verse in Jude, Genesis 19, 4 and 5, where the angels came unto Lot and all the men of the city come past the house round about, it said, and he said, bring them out that we may know them. Same word used in Genesis 4:1. Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived. Okay, they wanted to commit a heinous sexual act with these angels. Okay, the word fornication on your outline is translated from the Greek word ekpornuo, which means to be utterly unchaste or to give oneself over to fornication. Okay, the root word, pornuo, where from we would get the word pornography, okay, to act the harlot, to indulge unlawful lusts, or to practice idolatry, to commit fornication. Okay, this word, this pornuo, the idea of fornication is God's umbrella word, okay, for sexual sin. It encompasses a whole multitude of sins that we do not have time to get into. It encompasses adultery. It encompasses homosexuality. It encompasses bestiality. All this laundry list. Fornication is the umbrella word for that, okay? So, and I have here on our list, sodomy is still a grievous sin against the Creator. And it is, amen. It's a grievous sin. I know we're not supposed to be judgmental. And again, I hope I was clear last week. If I'm not, let me reiterate myself. Please, it is never right to be mean about this issue. It's never right. As a matter of fact, it's dead wrong in all God's people said. We're supposed to preach the truth, comma, in love. In love. See, some people are so right, they're convinced that they love the sound of their own voice. Well, bless God, you're going to hell. So were you before you got saved. Amen? And listen, and we'll talk about it in a little bit. It's a grievous sin in the eyes of God, but that doesn't give you the right to batter somebody with the Word of God. Amen? Listen, give them the gospel. Love them. Pray for them. Amen? Pray for them. Pray for them. And I know it's difficult. In my flesh, it's beyond repugnant to me that people could do something like that. But there are people that commit murders, and they can be forgiven. There are people that come out of this lifestyle. There's only one way. Jesus Christ is the only way. And but by the grace of God, there go I also. Thank God for His grace, His mercy in our life. So we talked about that. We gave you the verses there. Important that you look up those verses. You know those verses. Some of the arguments you'll get, if you'll read the verse in Leviticus, and there's two verses there, they'll say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, Romans is pretty clear too. Romans chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we closed with that last week where it talks about effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then that verse 11 is such a blessed verse where it says, and such were some of you. You know what that tells me? You can get victory over that sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because some people in Corinth, most of the commentators believe that some of those men in Corinth were male temple prostitutes that had been saved. That had been saved by the glorious power of God. Amen. And thank God, His grace is enough to reach down to the dirtiest sinner. Say amen. It is. Praise the Lord. So, number two, the sins of Sodom. Number one was apostasy. Number two was open homosexuality. And that's where we stop there. Number three, go to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. I'd like you to look up these verses. Thank you for this water, Brother Tom. At least I think it was Brother Tom. Amen. Thank you, brother. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 14. Okay, and obviously, God is denouncing the prophets of Jerusalem here. But there's a principle, an underlying sin that he's dealing with. In verse 14, he said, I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem, and horrible thing. They commit adultery, they walk in lies, they strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. You say, Pastor, what was the sin of Sodom that he's dealing with here, that he's referring to the prophets? It's unrepentant wickedness. That is a sin of Sodom. Unrepentant wickedness. Listen, you want the best example of that I can give you from the story of Sodom? Here they are, they come to the house, the angels reach out, and the Bible says they smote them with what? Blindness. You know what they did? They didn't run for cover. They didn't hit their knees and say, God, forgive me. You know what the Bible says they did? They tried to find the door. Why do you think they were trying to find the door, folks? Because they were unrepentant in their wickedness. Unrepentant wickedness is a sin of Sodom. Just like open homosexuality, just like apostasy. Let's look at another one. Actually, this next verse, go to Ezekiel 16. It encompasses a lot of sins of Sodom here. I think the next 1, 2, 3, 4 sins of Sodom. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse number 49. Ezekiel chapter number 16, verse 49. It says, and behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. The first note, number four there, is pride. Pride. What was the sin that started all sin? Pride. In the heart of Lucifer. He said, I'm going to be God. And God said, I don't think so. No, you're not. Pride. You don't believe pride is still... I think it's actually very appropriate. That it's actually the word, Pastor John, pride. Because there will be tons of parades in big cities all over this year, and they'll be called gay pride parades. And that's exactly what it is. Pride is a haughty spirit to God saying, who are you to tell me what to do? Pride. And lest we think that we don't have pride, ladies and gentlemen, every one of us battles with pride. Every one of us. But this was a sin specific to Sodom here. It's listed in the sins of Sodom. The next one there, it says fullness of bread. I have here not only pride, but excess. Excess. This idea of having and having and having. And listen, by the way, there's nothing wrong with eating a good meal. Nothing wrong with that. But God said, make sure you consider the poor. It's all over Proverbs, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. We're to consider the poor. Not just this idea that Sodom, when we think of Sodom, it's just, oh, we just think homosexuality. No, no, no. Pride, excess, and then look what it says also. It says abundance of idleness. Boy, I'll tell you what. Again, I know it's characterizing apostasy, but boy, our day is a day of idleness. When I cannot remember as a child... being, first of all, in the summertime, mom went like this. Get out. And don't come back till the streetlights come on. You can come back for lunch, but that's it. I can't imagine. It happens. It happens, Brother Mark. There are young people at 10 and 11 years old saying, I'm so depressed. I'm so depressed. I don't have anything to do. Man, at 11 years old, I couldn't climbing trees and climbing rocks and going out into the dirt trails and doing everything. I mean, I didn't have time to be depressed. Maybe it's just me. Amen. Idleness was a sin of Sodom. Just sitting around doing nothing. Nothing. Number 7 in Ezekiel, and we talked about it already. We won't have to stay long here, but it says, in her hand, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Turning away from the poor and needy was a sin of Sodom. And again, I wrote this in my Bible long ago, in the margin. It's in red. It says, America, America, God shed His grace on thee. And I love this country. But the same sins that were open in Sodom are sins that are being accepted in our country. God help us as Christians, again, to have a firm stand, a sweet spirit. We can do that. When our co-workers come to us and say, is your church one of those gay bashing church? No. No, we're not. We love sinners. I'm a sinner. That's what I would say when somebody asked me that. I'm a sinner and they love me. I'm a sinner and God loves me. God loves sinners. He just hates sin. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Looking at your outline there, according to Luke chapter 17, verses 28 through 32, on the blank line there, according to Luke 17, 28 through 32, the lifestyle in Lot's day will be in abundance in the world just prior to the return of Christ. Okay? This idea, the sins of Sodom, according to Luke 17, 28 through 32, the lifestyle in Lot's day will be in abundance in the world just prior to the return of Christ, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, okay? And certainly, obviously, one eye in the newspaper, one eye in your Bible, you can see that that is coming to pass. It's getting closer and closer and closer. And what did Jesus say about that? Hey, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads for your salvation right around the corner. Amen. It draweth near. Praise the Lord. Number three, Roman numeral number three. We have number one, the start of Sodom. Number two, the sins of Sodom. Number three, we have the setting forth of Sodom. The setting forth of Sodom. Go back to Jude and then a couple pages over to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. It says here something very specific about Sodom. It said, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example. Okay, if you go over to 2 Peter, it says they're set forth for an example. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Okay? On your lesson sheet there, the swift, sudden, and sweeping destruction and overthrow of Sodom shows God's hatred and righteous judgment against sin. The swift, sudden, and sweeping destruction and overthrow of Sodom shows God's hatred of and righteous judgment against sin, and particularly going after strange flesh, and also serves as a warning. Serves as a warning. Now, very often when we're dealing with a sinner about his soul, about salvation, we will use a verse like James 2:10. For if he shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. And that's a great verse, amen? It teaches that we're all sinners. But ladies and gentlemen, you cannot read your Bible and realize that God judges some sins more harshly than others, and this is one of them. This, you say, I don't like that. Hey, listen, I didn't write it. God judged this sin, and He judged it fast, He judged it harshly, and there was nothing but an example to afterwards that should live ungodly after this sin. This is why there's so many aspects to this. This is such a grievous sin towards God. But they're all the verses we list there, and we won't have time to look them up tonight. Look them up. Each one of them deals with the sin. It talks about Sodom and Gomorrah as a warning. The overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah as a warning. A warning. Listen, be warned about this sin. Number four on the back page, we have the start of Sodom and the sins of Sodom and the setting forth of Sodom. We have the suffering of Sodom. The suffering of Sodom. And we have there Jude, obviously, verse 7. It says, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Okay, they suffered physical destruction by fire. They suffered physical destruction by fire Of course, we know they're in Genesis chapter 19. And praise God, this is a great, great principle on the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Amen. That they could not, the Bible says they couldn't do anything until they got the righteous out. Amen. Listen, by the way, we're the bride of Christ. God's not going to drag His bride halfway through the tribulation. Listen, I wouldn't do that, and I'm not even close to anywhere near the husband that God is. Amen? He'll treat His bride right. He's going to snatch His bride away before that great tribulation comes. Thank God for that. They suffered physical destruction by fire. Again, according to Usher's chronology, the destruction of Sodom took place in 1898 B.C., Now just imagine this, just 450 years after the flood. Listen, what was it that caused the flood? Wickedness. Just 450 years later. You listen, if the preachers that spawned the Great Awakening, Brother Boston, could see churches that are open and affirming to this kind of sin, this day, I'm telling you what, they'd roll over in their graves. They thought that God did something and swept across this land. And just 450 years after the flood, I have a couple lessons there. Lesson is apostasy times wickedness equals Sodom in a very short time. Apostasy multiplied times wickedness equals Sodom in a very short time. They not only suffered physical destruction by fire, but saddest of all, they suffered eternal destruction by fire. And ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be our motivation more than anything else as we go. And if God gives us opportunity to witness to folks that are this way, that are gay, that are homosexuals, that are lesbians, listen, we don't want you to go to hell. Amen. God, help us to care. Help us to care. They're on their way. They're on, and we'd say this, sinners are on the road to hell. They're on a slick road to hell. They got one foot in the grave and one on a banana peel here. We need to care. Listen, and I know it's difficult, but praise God, He loved you. He loved me. Let's use this, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, as an example. Is what God has after those that should afterward live ungodly. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we